Hi, this is Tia Sirkar. I play Sabine Wren on Star Wars Rebels, and you're listening to Twin Suns Transmission.
Of course, it ends where it began. A desert planet with twin suns.
Hey, my name is Taylor Gray, and I play Ezra Bridger in Star Wars Rebels. I hope you enjoy this week's episode of Twin Suns Transmission.
Here's where the fun begins.
Let's make this a bit more interesting.
You've taken your first step into a larger world.
The garbage will do!
Nothing will stand in our way.
May the Force be with us.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Twin Suns Transmission. I'm your host, Eric Pfeiffer, joined as always by the lovely Jesse Cardella.
Hey guys!
Welcome to episode 109 of Twin Suns Transmission. So much Star Wars news out there right now, Jesse, and I feel like this is the longest stretch where we've just had so much Star Wars news in a very long time. You know, sometimes we have to, you know, we'll throw in different things, like we'll discuss during the week between the two of us, like, well, what do you want to talk about on the podcast this time or something, you know? But we have not had to do that. We have just had so much to talk about lately that we actually have to cut things out of our podcasts so that we can fit everything in a reasonable time, which is exciting. And that tells you right there that there is no better time to be a Star Wars fan than right now. So, having said that, we are not going to be doing aggressive negotiations on this show, and we are not going to be doing How's Your Star Wars? We have so much Star Wars news to discuss, so let's go straight into that. And Jesse, what do you got for us to start off with the news?
So, we actually have some really exciting news in the film world of Star Wars. Not only are we getting our new trilogy by Rian Johnson, but now another film series has been announced. It's going to be done by the creators of Game of Thrones, David Benioff, I might be saying his name wrong, but and also D.B. Weiss. They're going to write and produce a whole new set of Star Wars films, which is just crazy to me. We already have all these, you know, Game of Thrones actors with Brienne of Tarth, and now we're getting Khaleesi, and now we just have the producers of the show, and I'm totally stoked about this.
I agree, and I think there's, I don't want to say that there's a decent amount of people out there that are worried about it, only because Game of Thrones is very different than Star Wars in that there's a lot more mature content involved in Game of Thrones. We'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, it's not a family show in the sense that Star Wars is.
Right. So I don't think that there's going to be, you know, like an R-rated Star Wars. I don't think that they would do that. You know, this is a Disney company, and I think George Lucas has said from the beginning that Star Wars was intended for kids. You know, it wasn't necessarily exclusively for children, but it was intended for a younger audience. And I think that with picking Kathleen Kennedy as, you know, the president and CEO of Lucasfilm, and now Disney owning them, I think that we're in good hands. You know, I don't think that we're not going to have adult Star Wars out there, I don't think.
No. And that's, I've heard a lot of people say that too. Like, I don't want, you know, to see all this extra blood and all this gore in Star Wars. And I was like, well, you're not. Like, that's not what's going to happen. And I think Kathleen Kennedy, her statement on StarWars.com is, this is a direct quote from her, "David and Dan are some of the best storytellers working today. Their command of complex characters, depth of story, and richness of mythology will break new ground and boldly push Star Wars in ways I find incredibly exciting." And that's what we're getting from these guys. Not a Game of Thrones style show. It's just a Game of Thrones, you know, they have a huge also depth own world building, and they've built this huge complex world within just like basically one continent is what Game of Thrones is on, and we have a whole galaxy. And so I'm really excited to see what they can add to it.
Definitely. I think one of the biggest things too with that is, for those of you who do watch Game of Thrones, you see every week that Game of Thrones has an episode, it's so suspenseful, you know?
Right.
And it's the talk of pop culture for that week. You know, it's just like, oh my gosh, did you guys see Game of Thrones this week? And this happened and this happened. And, you know, it's obviously a story created by George R.R. Martin, but these two right. are people that are bringing everything that was in his brain and on his pages to the screen. And I think that they do a fantastic job of that. Game of Thrones was a show that I just recently got into over the last probably year and a half, and I love it. I think it's a very well-done show.
They produce a full movie-quality show. Like, it's a whole... It's like half of a movie every episode, because they're each 1 hour. And every time you feel like you've sat and watched a production movie blockbuster value, like, episode. And they do, you know, 10 or however many a season.
Yeah.
So, they'll probably have a whole year or so for every Star Wars film they create. So I can't wait to see what they do with all that time.
A year, if not more. I wouldn't put it past them doing kind of like something what they're doing now, right? Where we have a standalone and then a saga film and then a standalone. They could do right. a Rian Johnson film and then a Game of Thrones people film. And, you know, I don't know. I think they could just kind of be switching off for a while, which would be awesome. But Game of Thrones creators, woo, working on Star Wars, whole new series. And to me, not only was it cool to see that they were going to be doing Star Wars, but it's not just like it's one movie, right? It's a whole series of movies. So that is
right.
in itself amazing because we have so much Star Wars coming.
I know, and they didn't even like limit it to the word trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
Which series. Is so often, yeah, series. So who knows? Could
right. Maybe.
Be awesome.
We'll just have Star Wars until we die.
I'm totally cool with that.
Yeah, which would be awesome. And think about how old the world is. You know, billions of years old. And we are around during the time of Star Wars. Very lucky
That's
people
true.
We are.
Quite. Speaking of new Star Wars, what we're most stoked probably about right now is the new Solo, a Star Wars story coming out, and we've got all kinds of crazy stuff coming out to get us ready for this movie. First off is the Entertainment Weekly article. It's, well, not an article, it's a whole magazine, and it has a ton of really cool articles all about Solo. On the front cover is Han and Chewie standing back to back. If you haven't gone online and read these articles that are in this magazine by Anthony Bresnahan, then I don't know what you're doing with your life, because they they have done some really cool stuff. They go in depth pretty much about all our main characters, Han, Lando. They have a whole article about the new droid who's they released. Her name is going to be L337, and I did say her because it is a female personality for this droid. There's a whole article on Kira. It's just really cool. They go into depth on, you know, talking with the actors and talking with Ron Howard on his direction and thoughts on these things. If you want to stay completely spoiler free, then I would probably stay away from them. I wouldn't say there's any big spoilers in them. They didn't bother me to read, but they were really fun. I would highly recommend checking them out.
Yeah. I don't have the Entertainment Weekly subscription or anything like that. I typically like to go out and find the magazines at the stores, but I didn't realize that this magazine was going to be sent out to subscribers so early. My parents came over the other day and they brought the magazine that had come into the mail. And I was like, whoa, I didn't know that this came out already. So it is out, at least for subscribers. I'm assuming it will be out soon if it's not already out on the newsstands. But yeah, definitely check it out.
And in addition to this magazine, we are also getting a whole slew of Han Solo books and comics, the first of which is a book that's going to be called Last Shot. and it is going to be a Han and Lando novel. And there's alternate covers. You can get Han or you can get Lando. I'm not sure if you can get... I think you have to flip the cover to see Lando. I think it's just a reversible cover. I don't think it's going to be sold separately. But
right.
That's really cool. That is coming out on April 17th. And then we're getting another book that is called Most Wanted. And it's got Han and Kira on the front cover. So hopefully we're going to get a little bit back, more background story on these guys. And this one is actually coming out on the day that Han Solo is going to be released in theaters on May 25th. So there must be some secrets in that book that they don't want us to know before
right.
we see the movie. And then I'm really excited about this. We're getting a 5-comic miniseries of Lando, Double or Nothing, Lando comic series. And the cover of this looks really cool. It's just Lando in his Donald Glovery, childish Landino goodness, and it's got the Millennium Falcon flying across the cover. It looks really flashy and exciting and Lando-y. That's going to come out on May 29th. And then we've got all these little stories and books for kids. It looks like there's going to be some Chewie stories for the kids called Chewie and the Courageous Kids, and it's going to include stickers. That's exciting. The Mighty Chewbacca in the Forest of Fear. And it looks like he's got a K2SO. It might not be K2SO, but it is a K2SO. Oh, no, it is. It's K2SO. He's with K2SO on the cover of this.
Huh.
Yep.
Interesting.
K2SO and a loth cat that looks like he's got a jewel on his head and a girl that I do not recognize.
So much new stuff, you know? I mean, we can't even list it all. It's just ridiculous. So, but that's good, though. It's better than having no content out there, right?
Yeah, just tons of stuff for kids, little comics, little young adult readers, and then some cool stuff for the adults that we're also getting is, just to list really quick, The Art of Solo, A Star Wars Story, also coming out on the day of the movie release, and Solo, The Official Guide, written by Pablo Hidalgo, also coming out on the same day, as well as the official souvenir guide to the movie. Oh my gosh, like it's just, it's a collector's edition. Coming out the same day as well. It's going to be just a slew of Star Wars Solo things to read.
You know, typically we have a decent amount of time between movies to save up for the merchandise.
Right.
Not this time. Boo. Nope. But my birthday's in May. Wink, wink. Hint, hint. Everyone out there in the world. Very excited about that. There's so much stuff. And I really can't wait to get The Art of Solo and also the Han Solo Official Guide, because for me, I really like the thought and the effort and, you know, the amount of work that people put into creating these movies. And you can see that not only by the art, the concept art and the art direction that people have sort of taken. And these art books explain a ton. I have the Rogue One book, The Art of Rogue One, and I also have the Last Jedi. And you just flip through those books and they're so interesting. And you can kind of see how the characters have developed. And then with the official guides and the visual guides and all those things, oh my gosh. I love the story of Star Wars, and it is my passion to know everything I can about the Star Wars story. Even the background characters that may not even say anything, I want to know where they're from and who they are and what their name is and how they die and, you know, things like that. I think it's interesting, and that's what's great about Star Wars is that, unlike a lot of other movie franchises, those background people do have names. And they have stories.
It's always so surprising to me. Like, you'll pull out these, like, really cool facts, and I'll be like, what was that? Where was that? And you're like, it was in one of those official guides. Like, yeah. I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, it's so cool how much extra little tidbits of information are in those.
Yeah, those are the first things that I read whenever I get them. You know, I just read all those things from cover to cover a few times, and, you know, it's always good reference. And it's a lot of time, like Astral Analysis, which, by the way, is not gone. For those of you who liked Astral Analysis, Rachel and I will be doing more Astral Analysis episodes. We just need to sort of coordinate and get that show going. But a lot of the stuff that, a lot of the info that we talk about, we either know or we get from these official guides and other resource books. So, gotta love those. The Last Jedi. We're not done talking about The Last Jedi. You may have thought we were done. You may have thought we were moving on to Solo, which we are, but we also have Last Jedi information. And even though The Last Jedi, as far as right now, The Last Jedi is still in theaters in some locations. It is still available to buy tickets. And it's crazy that we're talking about release dates for bringing The Last Jedi home. So we have The Last Jedi coming out on March 13th for digital download. So if you are one of those people that gets the digital downloads, you'll be able to get that on March 13th. And then if you want a physical copy of it, on March 27th, you'll be able to bring that home. And we've got behind-the-scenes documentaries and everything that went into the making the film. We also have, I believe, there it said 14 deleted scenes on the Star Wars show, they said. So there's a ton of stuff that's going to be in this Last Jedi DVD pack. So I think you can get it in 4K Ultra HD or whatever, and you can get it in Blu-ray and, you know, whatever. There's a million different versions that you can get it in.
I don't even know what the 4K Ultra HD means. Like, I don't know what that means.
I don't know. I think it's like Blu-ray on steroids or something.
Right, like it'll, like, burn your retinas out. It's so cool.
Yeah, something like that. But that's very exciting. And we will be able to watch The Last Jedi in our homes about 2 months in advance before Solo comes out. So we'll have enough time to enjoy that before we have to mentally move on to Solo. Battlefront 2 has a lot of new information coming out and downloads. So I think they just did an update recently, a couple days ago. They added a new game mode called Jetpack Cargo, which is really exciting. And I guess you have a couple people on each side with jetpacks, and they're trying to get the cargo from side to side. So I haven't tried it yet, but I need to download that. And then there's also going to be Hoth appearances for Luke, Leia, and Han Solo that are going to be available for a short time, which I'm not sure why it's only available for a short time, but you also have to unlock them somehow, I think. Because Anthony Carboni on the Star Wars show said, if you want to figure out how to unlock them, you have to go to Battlefront.com or EA Games / Battle, I don't know, it's whatever the Battlefront website is. You have to you have to go on there and figure out how to unlock them. So I don't know how that works, but I might try this week to get those, because that'll be cool.
I'm really excited because of the way they described it also on the Star Wars show, that it's like Maz Kanata when they were FaceTiming with her and she was in her little jetpack, and that's like kind of what they're describing it as, what you're going to be able to do is fight people in your jetpack like Maz.
Right.
At the same time, I get so discouraged for these like limited time events because I am like so slow at being good at video games. It takes me forever to like unlock things, so I always just like give up and just end up not unlocking any of it.
most of the things I have no problem with. If it's just a limited time, you know, if you get like a certain amount of kills in this amount of time, then you get a special star card or something. But I don't think that should be the only way you can get that star card. Maybe you get it faster, or maybe it takes somebody else who didn't do that longer to get it. This I don't really like. And I know that we're a very positive podcast, but I don't like that these appearances are just for a short time. I don't like that at all.
I wonder if they're just gonna like see if everybody likes it, and maybe it'll be like, back by popular demand, Leia in her Hoth suit. It's like, okay.
I mean, Leia was in.
Everyone's gonna love that.
Yeah. Leia was in her Hoth outfit pretty much, other than on Endor, the whole time in the first Battlefront game. You know?
Right.
So maybe they're like, oh, people are probably sick of looking at Leia in her Hoth outfit. But I have a feeling, and we talked about this the other day, yeah, everyone loves Leia in her Hoth outfit. I think they need to add that in there. I think it's just really weird that they're like, hey, we have these really cool outfits, and you have to work to download them or unlock them, and then we're going to take them away.
Right. What if it takes me, like, the whole limited time to get the outfit, and then, like, the next day I go on, I'm like, I'm going to be Leia, and they're like, hey, and it's over.
Yeah, right. That makes no sense.
So, I don't know. I feel like I don't fully believe them. Like, why would it... It just, yeah, it makes no sense. I feel like it's going to come back
or something. So.
Like,
I like these appearances that you can change, though, you know? Because, or at least even in the first one, they added the Endor Leia, and they added Hoth Luke and Hoth Han. And I think they need those, because Leia was running around on Tatooine in her Hoth outfit. Like, what the heck, you know?
Right.
She's got to be hot in that.
It's just not practical.
Right. So we want all the outfits, Battlefront.
But I also it was cool that they kept it, if it would keep it like continuity wise where they changed outfit versus their location. But also I like how right now I can put Rey in her Last Jedi costume, mm-hmm. or her, you know, regular scavenger costume, mm-hmm. whenever I want. Like, right. I would kind of just like these things to just become something I unlock and get to choose, like, what Leia wears that day. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not one of those people that typically really cares what they're wearing. I think Rey looks way cooler in her Last Jedi training outfit. So I have my Rey with her Jedi training outfit. But on the same token, I like Kylo with his helmet on more. So. Right. I want the Force Awakens version of Kylo, and, you know, I don't really care, like, that much, especially if you're going to be playing as Kylo on Naboo, which he never goes to, you know, in Heroes versus Villains or something like that. I don't really care what he wears. I just want to slice someone in their face. So, you know, for the most part, if it's a character that doesn't really have that many outfit changes, I don't care that much, but... To have Leia in her Hoth outfit on Tatooine is dumb.
That's where you draw the line.
Yeah, it's stupid. It's hot. There's no way that she'd be wearing that. So, yeah. Anyway. All right, let's move on from Battlefront. So, New York Toy Fair happened recently, and this is very exciting for Star Wars collectors. And they had a whole segment on this on the Star Wars show. And you got to see a lot of the new toys that are going to be released this upcoming year. So many different Lego sets and Funkos and all sorts of different Mighty Mugs. Hasbro's going ballistic with all their cool Star Wars stuff coming out, including we saw the first four Solo figures that are going to be released, which are pretty cool. I think they called it a Mimban Trooper. I hope that's what they called it, because I like the planet Mimban, if that's actually what they called it, but it might not be that. It looks like just a mashup of different Stormtroopers to me. I don't know if you saw this, Jesse, but it looks like a combination of like a hover tank driver, a shore trooper, a snow trooper, and just, I don't know, maybe a AT-AT driver or something. It just looks like a mashup of different troopers to me.
He looks like he's wearing like
a fur coat. Like,
right. I was trying to think of a nice way to say it. Yeah, fur coat.
Yeah.
It says on my article, Imperial Range Trooper.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, that looks cool.
But I thought that too, that he looked almost like a mashup. I see this shore trooper in there for sure.
Yeah. We also get Kira, who looks pretty awesome. She's got a cool jacket, and she comes with a blaster. Lando, I think everyone's freaking out about Lando and his bright yellow shirt. And, of course, he has a cape. Gotta have a cape on Lando.
I like that his cape is lined with blue. Mm-hmm. I just associate Lando with his first blue shirt that we see him in. So yeah. I like that.
Yeah, me too. And then we have the Han Solo, who looks very cool. Got his blue pants and holster, comes with a blaster. So those are the first figures from Solo that we got to see. And then I would say probably the biggest announcement from Toy Fair was HasLabs, which is basically sort of like the production for Hasbro, and they want to build and produce these giant sail barge vehicles for the 3¾-inch line. And these are going to be $500. This thing is over 4 feet long. And in order for them to go into production, they need 5,000 people to purchase this for pre-order. So that is crazy. I would love this. And for me, I'd be like, oh my God, I want two. I want one to keep nice in the box. And then I want to put all my other, you know, sail barge characters on the sail barge. And you can open up different panels. And I think they said on the Star Wars show, you can see like a decomposing Ithorian just up against a wall in a corner. God. And there's you could see sort of like a little area where Jabba would get his frog-like meals from. And I don't know. It just looks super cool. I just... $500 is scary. You know, it's a lot of money.
That's an investment for sure. Yeah. I know I've seen, because I follow a lot of the Black Series figure Instagrams, where they make very cool scenes and then edit them right to make it look like it's right out of the movie. And those guys are like crazy advocating for this thing to get put into production.
Well, for them, they could have so many different shots and pictures and everything.
Right. But 500, man.
It is a lot. It is a lot. And typically, I like to buy big vehicles. You know, I have the big First Order TIE Fighter that they made for the 6-inch Black Series. Like, I like to buy the big vehicles. But this one, it's really cool. And I really want to be one of those 5,000 people that contribute to this going into production, but I just, $500 is so much. Did you listen to all the Solo stuff that we had just announced that is coming out? You know, it's like, okay, well, I can either, you know, eat for a month, or I can buy a sail barge, you know?
Right. Eat for like 3 months. If you're shopping at Aldi.
There you go. But yeah, it's crazy. So, and if you want more information, you can go on to StarWars.com and watch the latest Star Wars show. Or if you want, you could just go to TwinSonsOutpost.com, because we have it on there. We have Rebels Recon and the Star Wars show and all the podcasts that we do. And we're filling up our website pretty well here. So make sure to visit www.TwinSonsOutpost.com. And Jesse, I think it's that time we need to go to the biggest news probably of this week. Star Wars Rebels Season 4 resumed. Let's go on and talk about the two episodes that we got. We got Jedi Knight, and then we had Doom. And I believe these were episodes 10 and 11 of Star Wars Rebels Season 4. And before we go on, we are going to be talking about major spoilers from now on, pretty much till the end of the show. So if you have not seen these two episodes, do not, and I'm going to repeat, do not listen to this part of the show, please. Now that we've got that out of the way, Jesse, let's talk about this, because it's going to be exciting. Okay, Jedi Knight. This is takes place right after episode 9, which I think was called like Rebel Assault or something similar to that, where Hera actually ends up getting captured by the Imperials on Lothal. And we now have our rebels going back to try and rescue her, and they free Hera, and it turns out bad for Kanan. Kanan does the selfless act to save the rest of the Ghost crew, and he ends up dying. He ends up perishing at the end of this episode. So before we start talking about Doom, let's just finish this, because the two episodes kind of go together, but let's just talk about Jedi Knight first. So other than Kanan passing away in this episode, what kind of stood out to you the most from this episode?
Other than Kanan, I have such a pit in my stomach over Kanan. Okay, other than Kanan, I guess just the biggest piece of information that we got for the continuation of this series and where it's going to end us up is that Thrawn's TIE Defenders are basically competing with the Death Star for attention of the Emperor, or funding maybe also. I wasn't really clear on that, but they seem to be...
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
Yeah, the TIE Defender production has stopped, and that's good for these rebels, right? The mission was a success, and although they lost Kanan along the way, they destroyed this factory, and that's good. That's good for the rebels. So I think it was nice to see the rebels all together again. Sad that what happened, but Kanan was pretty awesome in this episode. We see him retrieve Hera's Kalachori, right, without even being able to see. You know, he's walking alongside the outside of the building, and he just knows that Hera's Kalachori is inside. You know, he can't see it, and he retrieves it for her. I think drugged up Hera was absolutely hilarious.
I know, and it's like people pointed out online that it's like such a serious thing, and like I get that. If you want to think about it really, really hard, it is very sad and very serious that Hera is tortured and drugged. But like it's a cartoon, so I was laughing. It was very funny to me that we had Hera. I mean, it's not like. We're just seeing what has been happening in Star Wars since A New Hope. This is what happened to Princess Leia. We just didn't get to see it. So I think it was really funny to watch Hera be drunk, essentially.
I didn't like that droid Kanan.
I can't get myself together because of Kanan, but...
All right, let's just talk about that. Let's just talk about the death of Kanan. So he goes up on top of this fuel depot. They call it a depot. I always said depot, right? I don't know. He jumps on top of this fuel depot, and it gets blasted by the Empire at the orders of Governor Price. And so Kanan uses the Force to stop all this fuel explosion energy from destroying the rebels, and Hera's running out there, right? It's a really sad moment where Kanan's out there trying to save everyone, and Hera runs out, and Kanan sort of like half turns and uses his other hand to use the Force to stop Hera from coming out there anymore. And you can hear Hera yelling Kanan, and just the music, and it's like, well, this is it. You know, this is the end. And Kanan's eyes, right? They turned back to looking normal again. And
right. I barely noticed that. Like, it took, because we were watching this episode together, and it took you saying, like, he could see her. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, I barely saw that. But yeah, I think I did see that. Yeah, he could see her. His eyes went back to blue.
Yeah, and Dave Filoni said in Rebels Recon, he said that's clarity. You know, it's everything becoming clear again for Kanan. So I thought that was a really cool symbol. And to see the reaction of the Ghost crew was even more painful for me, I think. You know, just how much he meant to everybody.
I 100% agree with you. I've noticed, because I've now watched this episode twice, and I began bawling both times at the exact same moment, and it's when Sabine is flying away and she like wipes her face. Like, I don't know what it is about seeing Sabine like get that emotional, but you know, she's like tough Mando girl. Mm-hmm. Tough Mando girl doesn't cry. And to like see Sabine cry, I think that just like, that's where it really hits me.
Yeah. And this might even be at the beginning of Doom, the next episode, but when they get back to where Zeb is, right? Zeb and Chopper. I don't know if it's at the end of Jedi Knight or not. It's somewhere in there. I get them two kind of mixed up. But they land, and Sabine gets off first, and Zeb's, like, happy. You know, he's smiling. He's, like, waving. And Sabine gets off, and she launches her TIE fighter helmet, and is like screaming, and Zeb's like, Sabine, what happened? Sabine, and she just totally walks by him, and Ezra gets out, and he's like, what happened? And Ezra's like, Kanan's gone. And Zeb's like, what do you mean, captured? No, he's gone. And then you see Hera out there, and Chopper going up and holding Hera's hand. That made me tear up a little bit. You know, everything between Zeb giving Ezra a hug,
right?
Sabine launching her helmet, and Chopper holding Hera's hand. That whole scene, I mean, they did a fantastic job. I know having Kanan no longer with us is a like you said, it puts a pit in your stomach. But I think most people felt as though Kanan was not going to make it to the end. And I think they definitely did a fantastic job presenting that to us all.
I agree. And I just like everything about this episode, like right from when they get to, I'm not sure what the building is called, but when they get to the building where Hera is being held, I knew that that was it for Kanan. Like, I could just, he just was preparing the us and the crew, like, for him to be gone.
It was so funny, though. Well, not funny, but just strange to me that you were right off the bat like, oh my god, Kanan's gonna die. And we were only a couple minutes into the episode. I was like, what are you talking about? They wouldn't do that. This is the first episode back. They're gonna wait till the end. I'm like, there's no way they would do that so early on. You know, we've got another five episodes left in the series. I can't believe they would kill him off now, you know?
I know, but, and I was just like, look at him, look at what he's saying, like, look at what they're doing. Like, he was just like, he was like giving Ezra like his last minute like praise, telling him he was a good listener and it's serving him well and it will continue to serve him well. And he just like stops them. He like holds on to like every moment from then on out. Like, he like stops them and like thanks them for, you know, I don't know, whatever the plan, whatever he was thanking them for. I think it was the, he thanks the Sabine for the, like the, what were they? Hand grab things that he used to climb the building. He like stopped and like thanked her for those. Like, he didn't have to think, like, that's not something they do for every mission. Like, you know, like at the beginning of every mission, they're joking around. Maybe they were in a fight 10 minutes before and they're all mad at each other. But like most of the time it's like somebody says something funny and then they go running and doing something, or they're, Kanan's exasperated with Ezra for one reason or another, but like Kanan's like stopping them and being like, you're great, may the force be with you. Like, I was like, Kanan's dead, he's dying. There's, you don't, that's not how he starts any of the missions.
Yeah. He definitely grew a lot though as a character, you know, and I went back and looked at some pictures and watched a couple scenes from season one, you know, Spark of Rebellion, the very first time we were introduced to this ghost crew. And I remember the streets of Lothal where Kanan was trying to send a message, you know, by tapping the side of his leg, and Sabine tapped the side of her leg, and everyone is sort of, you know, making these secret plans, and then Ezra screws it all up. But I think to see them go from that moment to Kanan then sacrificing himself, and, you know, he's got short hair and he's blind and I don't know. There's just a lot that happened to Kanan, you know. And I remember, I don't know when it was, but we had Freddie Prinze Jr. on the show. And I said, so Freddie, do you know, maybe I can find the audio clip and I'll play it. So Kanan, he's obviously, you know, in Star Wars Rebels leading up to this, like the very beginning of the rebellion, you know, as we see. But he's not in A New Hope. So do you know what Kanan's fate is? And if maybe. Not, you do. Okay.
Maybe I do. I have an idea of his destiny, but I can't say anything. I mean, I'll tell you this: before the show's over, you're gonna see Kanan go through hell and back to become the Jedi that he's gonna need to be by the time this series is over.
So I don't know if at that point he knew that Kanan was gonna die, because in Rebels Recon, they basically said that they took away the last two pages of the script for that episode, so they didn't know until they went in to record that that was going to happen. They had, like, the first however many pages, but the last two they cut out. So I don't think they necessarily knew until they went to record, but I don't know. So I'll try and find that audio clip to see if we can play it for this. Yeah.
And I think another thing that hit me in that episode was when Kanan called Ezra, he referred to like the rest of them, like Ezra and Sabine, and I feel like he was referring to Zeb as well, as the kids.
Yeah.
Like talking about the hang gliders. Oh, the kids thought of that one. He's like, yeah, talking to Hera, and like everything is so perfect, and they're like, we've seen them kiss a few times, they're starting to accept their relationship. He just called the rest of them the kids because they're space mom and dad. And
yeah,
and then it just like all gets ripped away from all of us and we all feel their pain.
Yeah. Well, I think we all knew it had to happen, and I think one of the reasons why I didn't think Kanan was going to die, and we had talked about this during one of the commercials, I was like, Vader's not here, the Emperor's not here, and Thrawn just left. Which basically means, who is there to kill Kanan, right? I'm like, this is one of the main characters of this entire show, one of the strongest rebels that's currently a factor. And if none of those characters, none of the, you know, Vader, the Emperor, or Thrawn, if none of them are around, how are they going to do this character justice by killing him with the schmucks that are still around for the Empire on Lothal right now? But I think they did a good job. It was a gutsy decision by Governor Price that Thrawn is very upset about.
Right.
If
I didn't already hate her, like, I can't even look at her anymore. Like, I want to see her go, like, hard.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe Thrawn will just take her out. He seemed very upset. Like, a lot of times when people make mistakes or when someone gets let go or whatever, Thrawn's always like, well, we haven't lost the war. This is a small setback. Let the rebels have their victory, you know, whatever. But this, he actually seemed like genuinely upset, very upset about what she did. So, right. So let's go on to Doom. Let's talk about that. I think one of the biggest things for me in this one was Hera adding a segment to her Kalachori, which was a family heirloom for important people of her family and to be passed down from generation to generation. And she adds a segment on there for Kanan, and she says something like, you know, you're right, Chopper, Kanan was a part of our family or something like that. And I think that was really cool. But to see Hera deal with the passing of Kanan was rough to watch, I think.
It's, yeah, that was probably the hardest You know, we've seen the Padawan lose his master, you know, many times now, and, you know, we know how they get through it. And it's something else when you see two people who you know were supposed to be together just right. have it taken away from them. It's really hard. And I love that Chopper just, like, stayed, like, glued to her side and, mm-hmm. like, talked her through it in his own little way. And that was just so sweet.
It just sucks for her, though, because she feels as though it's her fault that Kanan died by getting him involved in this war. And I don't feel like that's a justifiable thing to think.
Right. It's just, like, that, like, beginning stage of grief where you're just, like, irrational and trying to figure it out, and she's just ripping into herself, and it's really sad to watch.
Yeah. You know, why did I wait so long to tell him I loved him and stuff like that? I don't know. I think I feel her pain, man. It's rough. But the whole Ghost crew dealt with it in different ways, and they talked about this on Rebels Recon as well. Sabine and Zeb, I would say in the Rebels crew right now, those are the two biggest threats to the Empire. You know, you got the muscle in Zeb, and you got the weapons expert in Sabine. Those right now on Lothal, well, I guess Ezra too, but
Ezra's just a Jedi, but whatever.
but I feel like Sabine and Zeb can really do a lot of damage. And I think they just went off, and as soon as Sabine was like, I'm going to go add some fireworks to their parade, and Zeb's like, yeah, I'm going to go with you. I'm like, oh, jeez.
Like, I think we were just both like, no, like, just yeah. stay put. Like, you guys are going to regret whatever you're about to do.
Exactly. But they got into a skirmish with Rook, which was very creepy. It was slightly disconcerting to see him just kind of look back and notice them as they were looking through the binoculars.
It pierced me in my soul when I saw his eyes through the binoculars, and I just loved Zeb's reaction where he's like, oh, I don't want to look at it. Yeah. Like, it's so creepy.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, like, he... Rook is probably one of the creepiest villains by far, I think, in Star Wars right yeah. now.
I think it's his stature, too. He moves very creepily.
Yeah, like, fast, and he's tiny, and...
Yeah.
Ugh.
I think also, man, I wish Sabine would have let Zeb kill him. I know you don't. You no. disagree. You disagree, but Sabine was the one's like, we're not interested in playing fair this time, you know. And they had basically agreed, you know, they took one of ours. It's time to take one of theirs. And then Sabine's like, no, let's just, you know, beat him up and paint him and send him back. Like, that's not getting even. Come on, rebels. This is a war. I wish Zeb would have just beat his skull into bits of pieces of dust.
Well, I have two problems with that. Like, number one, I don't want to see anybody get beat to death, and no children watching Disney XD want to see anybody get beat to death, no matter how terrible they are. I think that was literally, like, I had my head, like, practically in my sweatshirt, and I was like, are we about to watch someone get beat to death? Because Zeb was, like, on the loose, and I'm really glad Sabine stopped him, because even though that's somebody that they do ultimately need to defeat, and he's going to have to die because he's too big of a threat to go on, but that's not how you want to do it. You know, yes, and that's not how you want. No,
this should be our aggressive negotiations for next time.
Maybe. But it's just Zeb. That's not something you want to see Zeb do, and you want Zeb to have on his conscience that he literally just beat something to death.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't he was like, this is for Kanan, but it's like, but that's not what Kanan would have wanted you to do. Kanan just sacrificed himself for all of you. And he doesn't want you to go. They're essentially just like, they just wanted to find something. Like, they're not killing Rook wouldn't get them any closer to winning the war. Rook is just one guy. Is he bad and is he dangerous? Yes, but like beating him to a bloody pulp and killing him, it wouldn't have really helped them all that much.
See, I disagree, because on the one hand, like with Zeb, I know that Zeb is a very honorable fighter, and I know that to him, he wants to win a fight fair and square. He wants to win a fight very honorably. He would surrender his weapon if defeated in battle. That's just the way of his people. That's just the way that Zeb is. Granted, they didn't fight this battle fair. You know, they had two, it was two against one, but one of the biggest threats on Lothal to the rebels right now is Rook. He's a freakish assassin. You know, I mean, he's done so many things to the rebels already that surprised them, right? He tracked them. He had an invisibility switch on his, you know, his gauntlet or whatever to make him turn invisible. Like, these aren't things that the rebels are used to seeing. And Rook would not show Zeb the same mercy, I don't think. So if you want to win this war, you have to take out the biggest threats. If that was Thrawn, they probably still wouldn't have done it, but like you need to do that. You need to take people out. And this is the Anakin coming out in me, you know? It's just in order to win, you have to eliminate your biggest threats. And I think Rook is a big threat.
But you can do it in a way that's not like a war crime, just like beating somebody
Is your only objection that it's a children's show and you don't want to see someone get beat to a pulp?
I don't want that to be my only objection. It is a objection that I have, but just like if we're just talking about these people as if they're real, which we love to do, mm-hmm. I just don't think I would want them to do that. Like, I just don't want Zeb to do that. Like, you can find another way to defeat someone, or it just doesn't need to be like a just beat your face until, like, you know, he was down. He was down, like, you take that person into custody, or you, I don't know, paint them and send them back to the Capitol. you don't need to beat them till they're dead.
But let's just say that Rook comes back, right? Let's just say he heals and now he's really mad, right? He got defeated. As an assassin, that's a hit to your ego. Thrawn's not going to be happy about it. It's just one of those things that it's not good for anybody on the Imperial side. Not good for Rook, not good for Thrawn, not good for anybody over there. And so I think if he ends up getting to go back out into battle, he's going to have a chip on his shoulder, not that he didn't already, but he's just going to be out for blood, I think. So we'll see. Yeah. But let's talk about the wolves, right? We haven't talked about them yet, and they're playing a huge role. And I was so confused because all these wolves would do was like doom, and then Kanan dies. It's like, okay, well, there goes that. You know, what is that? What do we do with this plot line now? You know, turns out that Ezra sort of is playing a role in this now. He runs with the Lolth Wolves, right? And he ends up meeting this big Lolth Wolf named Doom. Who are you? I am Doom. And in my mind, I was like, oh my god, is that Kanan? Is Kanan a giant wolf now? You know? And I don't know if you said that too, right?
Yeah, well, I say we don't know that he's not. Yeah. It might be like a ridiculous, like, hope on hope, but Ezra has yet to ask, like, what do you mean your name is Doom? Like, mm-hmm. Tell me more about why you have the same name as Kanan. So I don't know. I feel like it's a possibility that it could be Kanan based off of how Kanan died and kind of a little bit of what Dave Filoni said in Rebels Recon, where he talked about how at the moment of Kanan's death, he was one with everything and had clarity, and its purpose was not only to represent sacrifice and teach sacrifice, but to become enlightened. He literally said Kanan was like becoming enlightened.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, when you say a Jedi is becoming enlightened,
mm-hmm.
that means you're not just, you know, dying, you're becoming one with the Force in a way that we've seen, you know, maybe Yoda and Obi-Wan, where we see them again as like a Force ghost or in some other way.
Right. I just think, I don't know. Like, as soon as he said, I am Doom, I was like, oh, Kanan. But to me, the Force works in mysterious ways. And I feel like in order for it to work in a way where you are able to present yourself in physical form after death, whether it be as a Force spirit or something else, I feel like that takes a lot of training. Look how much Yoda and Qui-Gon had to train in order to be able to learn how to present themselves as Force spirits. Now, with Ahsoka, I'm still convinced, and maybe this upcoming week we'll get it, but I'm still convinced that we will be getting Ahsoka in some form coming up soon. And I think, even though, as far as we know, she hadn't had any training on that, but I think because of what happened with the daughter sacrificing herself, or basically, you know, to save Ahsoka in the Mortis trilogy, that she may have passed on to Ahsoka more than we know she did. So with Ahsoka, I feel like maybe she's able to sort of present herself in some other form. With Kanan, his training was not complete. We see him just in this series become a knight, and he felt as though there wasn't a lot more that he could teach Ezra. You know, I feel like Kanan, while he is a Jedi, he is not as strong as we're used to seeing Jedi be. So I don't know, unless the wolves had some sort of like weird Force connection to Kanan that they were able to somehow transfer his essence into a giant wolf. I don't know. You know, I think if he is that wolf, it wasn't because Kanan had a power to become that wolf. It was because the wolves did it to him, I think.
I could see that. I feel like there's some, we're going to get more with Kanan. I feel like this isn't it. And that I think I might be pulling on strings here, but Dave Filoni also says in Rebel Recon that he feels so bad about this, and that he asks us to trust him. He's like, all I can say is trust me. So to me, I mean, he could be saying, all I can say is trust me. You'll like how it ends. Or he could be saying, trust me, like with Kanan's story and that he's not done with it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Dave, so cryptic all the time.
I know.
yeah, but I think, so Ezra gets this sort of like a block of stone, and it has all these designs of hands. It looks like one of them's a closed fist, one of them is an open palm, and the other one might be pointing somewhere. But this giant wolf, Doom, tells Ezra to go to the Jedi Temple. And Ezra brings it back to his friends. And so I think we're going to be getting more of the Jedi Temple on Lothal. And maybe this is where we'll see the father, the daughter, and the son. Like that big image that we saw in the mid-season trailer. Maybe we'll get answers to Ahsoka in these next episodes. Who knows?
I mean, the wolf Doom says all these words, and they're like, I had the closed captions on because he had that like growly voice, and I wanted to be sure I was understanding him. He says to Ezra that he wants, it's just the word, restore, period, mm-hmm. past, period, redeem, period, future, period. Those could all just be like words that will have meaning to us later, or he could be saying restore the past, redeem the future.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like a whole new can of worms. Like, what does that mean? What are we restoring? What are we redeeming? Are we restoring Kanan and Ahsoka and all the deaths that we would like to have be restored that are not going to actually happen, but I can think it in my head and maybe it'll be true?
Darth Maul's back.
Yeah, I'll have him too if it means Kanan and Ahsoka. But I thought that was a very... she's just like saying just these words. And he also says, because Ezra, he says he feels hopeless and the wolf just says fight. And then Ezra's like, how? And he's like, together. So again, does that mean like together as in with the ghost crew, or are these wolves going to like literally join the fight?
Oh, I would love that. That'd be so cool.
I would love that too.
I feel like doesn't he also say fear? And Ezra's like, yeah, I am afraid or something like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's just like, it's just like one word for the most part. He just keeps saying these word things, and it's a very Dave Filoni thing where we're just interpreting.
Right.
Which I love. Trying to figure out a mystery. It's so cool.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right. Well, we're getting two more episodes of Star Wars Rebels this upcoming week on Disney XD. So make sure to watch that, and we'll be discussing that on our next show. Hopefully everyone enjoyed our discussion on Star Wars Rebels. Thank you so much for listening to episode 109 of Twin Suns Transmission. Jesse, before we go, why don't you tell people where they can reach us?
You can always find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We would love to hear from you guys. We'd love to share your comments and questions or topics on the show. So anything you guys want, you can reach us there, or you can email us at twinsonsoutpost@gmail.com. And those social media sites, the Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, are all at Twin Suns Outpost.
All right, perfect. And I don't know where you guys are listening to us, but we are available on iTunes as well as the Star Wars podcast app on for Androids. And then we're also on our website, so you could just find us at www.twinsonsoutpost.com as well. It's been a great time talking about Star Wars Rebels and all the news from Solo and everything.
And we'd love to hear what you guys think about these episodes of Rebels and how you feel about Kanan. And we'd also love to share your guys' thoughts on those things on the show as well. So please write into us, because we need to share in our sadness for Kanan with somebody.
We want to be sad with you.
Yeah. We'll hold your hand like Chopper. Yeah.
Yes. All right, everyone. Thanks so much for listening, and may the Force be with you.
Hi, this is Vanessa Marshall, Harrison Dula from Star Wars Rebels. You've been listening to Twin Suns Transmission, an exciting show where sand gets everywhere. Thank you for listening to this presentation of the Twin Suns Podcast Network. May the Force be with you, always.
Controlled by the Hutt.
I'll meet you at the rendezvous point on Tatooine.
This son's doing murder to me, I think.